Welcome everyone to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode we were talking about how there's ways to we can turn away from meditation, which wouldn't really be in our best interest, because meditation really provides all of the rest and joy that we would find in the world that we're seeking in all of our various pursuits. And it doesn't have to be religious in a sense, because if you think about it, everyone sleeps regardless of what religion they're in. In the same way, meditation is your own. And so hopefully you were able to meditate after last episode. In this episode, we're going to look at a little something different. And I would say that for people who aren't familiar with the subject matter, it's just a podcast you can skip over. But for those of us who are interested in this kind of subject matter, then feel free to listen in. So we're going to talk about autism in this episode, and it's also considered Asperger's. So I'm talking about people who are high-functioning autistic people, for the most part. We know that it's a brain issue, but so is depression, and so is anxiety. Everything's a brain issue. But to classify autism entirely in, neuroscience, neurobiology, is, I think, strange, especially if I'm not a psychoanalyst, but I'm sure that a psychoanalyst would want to understand it psychoanalytically. So I've done a little bit of work, not clinical work, but I've done a little bit of theoretical stuff where I assume that, we did a podcast on the Oedipus complex, and the Oedipus complex is very well known. It's been around for 100 years. Freud invented it, or at least showed that we have it. And I wanted to explain Asperger's in a way that would have a similar complex. Similar in the sense that it was unconscious and that it was affecting the patient, the person who was autistic. And I thought it would be in terms of a constructive complex in a competitive complex, in that the boy is competing with the father unconsciously. And if the competitive, I called it a cathexis, because that's basically what it is. And I considered it non-edible, and I'll get to that in a minute, why I say non-edible. Because it's not murderous. It's not a murderous cathexis. But I'll get to that in a moment. But I call it a competitive cathexis. And if this competition was allowed to become conscious, I suppose that the symptoms of autism would be reduced in that case. The hypersystemizing and the perseveration and things like this that happen, the lack of facial recognition that occur in people who are suffering from autism. So I'm going to add to that original idea that I had and say that it does become Oedipal in the end. And what happens is the boy, say, has this unconscious competitive fantasy with the father, which if we allow it to play itself out, we can see that the symptoms reduce. And this is just allowing it to be sort of exposed in a way and dealt with in therapy. But it does become Oedipal in a sense, because the competition, because we know that's there too, ends up becoming a way that The boy becomes the man of the house, in a sense, with the mother non-sexual, non-arousing in that way. So I say non-sexual, just like the competitive cathexis is sort of non-Oedipal. It's not murderous, and the Oedipal in this way is non-sexual because it's non-arousing. It's unarousing, I should say. It has nothing to do with actual sexual arousal. It's just that the boy takes on the role, essentially, of the father. And this is also unconscious. So the boy becomes sort of the man of the house. And he does become the mother's sort of friend, boyfriend, in that way, husband. But it's just like a married couple isn't having sex all the time. There's the boy with the Oedipal, I'm sorry, the boy with this competitive cathexis, which I really haven't given a name to yet, but is also, it's almost a platonic relationship with the mother, just as a married couple wouldn't be always just, all over each other sexually. In the same way, the boy isn't aroused by the prospect of having sex with his mother, but he is nevertheless in a position where he is the man or the boy of the house. He takes on that role in a non-sexual way, just as a husband would have a wife and they wouldn't be always sort of having sex with one another or be aroused by one another. There's sort of a domestication going on, and I think that the boy suffering from autism has this unconscious competitive cathexis with the father, but also this sort of domesticated entitlement with the mother, where he sort of takes on this, he represents the home with the mother as his, partner, for lack of a better word. So this is the complex that I believe is at the root of Asperger's syndrome or autism. We call it, ASD. I should say we. I'm not a psychologist in any way, but the ASD, the autism spectrum disorder, what I think have this complex as its base, and certainly some clinical work would need to be done to confirm this. But that's my idea. I just had to augment it a little bit with this idea that it does become Oedipal in the end, even though I wouldn't call it Oedipal. I do think it is a separate complex that people who have autism suffer from, in addition to, what any hysteria would be present. But I do think hysteria and autism are almost like really apples and oranges. They really have completely different ways of approaching things where, either the boy is going to be hysterical if the Oedipus complex is strong, or he's going to be autistic if this competitive cathexis is strong. And I think that once we bring this to the light of day for anyone suffering from Asperger's, I would believe that their symptoms would decrease. And we're going to need to do, hopefully people listening to this will be interested in pursuing the idea, because I think it should be seen in a clinical setting as being advantageous for treatment. Because really, while there's psychoanalytic treatment for Asperger's, I think that the theory is lacking for why psychoanalytic work would be beneficial for, which we know it would be beneficial for someone with autism, and maybe why it is beneficial, if we can just sort of begin to see that there's this complex that exists. And obviously, I have still more work to do on it. It'd be interesting to know if the complex resolved in some way, either with a humiliation by the father, or in some way where the cathexis would be given up. But nevertheless, I do think it is at the heart of those suffering from autism. And That's basically where I wanted to go in this episode. And, I think that all of us have differences that we are aware of and maybe we're not aware of, but, there's what I didn't like about some of the stuff I've read on autism is it seemed to be as though, oh, those were the people with the brain issue. Whereas, why isn't someone with depression someone with the brain issue? What, because we don't understand it, right? We understand depression from a theoretical psychoanalytic way of what happens, but we don't seem to understand how autism occurs, and we just call it, neurobiology. Well, so is depression neurobiology too, but we don't think of it like that. We think about it in a therapeutic, sort of theoretical way when we look at depression. And I don't see why we shouldn't do the same if we didn't have the tools to do it. So hopefully I'm offering some way to start to look at it. And I think that once the this complex comes to light in the course of treatment, I would hope that I'm correct, that the symptomatology would become more manageable. And I hope that we can stop just seeing it as this brain issue that's untreatable in a sense or can't be fixed. I believe there's a lot of people who are suffering today with this. Many, many, many people. The numbers are just like they're skyrocketing. I think the reasons are more people are getting treatment, but I think that more people are getting diagnosed that would never be diagnosed just with slight, issues of Asperger's or ASD. And so the numbers are just skyrocketing. So we have a lot of people who are suffering, and I hope that, we can begin to look at it in terms of this sort of, this energy that has been, stuck. I mean, when Freud looked at hysteria, he realized it was a sexual energy that was sort of needed to be reallocated and let go in a sense. And I think that the competitive cathexis and this idea of being, the mother's partner, needs to be also kind of let out and can't be, hemmed in and stuck in the boy's mind, because I think it leads to these problems that we see in autism. And I think what happens is to for him, for the boy to get relief from this, he gets into all of these, issues where he can't see people's faces, he's not able to be flexible, he's rigid, and he's just constantly perseverating, which is this repetition, this constant repetition of what he's doing. And he's doing this to try to get rid of this cathexis of energy, this idea of being sort of the mother's partner. Having this, non-murderous competitive cathexis with the father. That's what he's doing. He's maintaining his reign as the mother's partner and the adversary of the father. And again, it's going to be a, it's not the terms that we're familiar with in the Oedipal complex. He's not out to murder his father. He's so much as to sort of outdo him, and he's not looking to have sex with his mother, which he wants to be her partner, in a domesticated way, non-sexual. And I think that that's what we're missing with autism, is that this is actually quite damaging. Just to have that is quite a thing that can cause some serious issues if the energy is not allowed to reallocate to something more, a freer sort of, place. We know from the hysteria that once we bring things like the Oedipus complex to the conscious mind, that the patient feels a lot of relief. And I think in the same way, we should be looking at autism in terms of unconscious mental processes and allow this complex to be in the light of day and hopefully help the patient get some handle on his symptomatology. And we know it's much more common in men than women. And I mean, this could show why it might be the case. But I think that we should try to see if we can treat Asperger's symptomatology, autism, with unconscious work, especially in the way of this idea of being the mother's close domesticated partner, as opposed to her lover, which is would be sort of in a sexual aroused position, whereas this is not. It's more the autistic position is one of more, as I said before many times, I just want to say it again, is that it's going to be more of a non-sexual domesticated role that the young boy takes with the mother, where he becomes her friend in a sense. He's raised to the status of sort of adulthood in early childhood, and this energy needs to be released. It can't be allowed to be stopped up in the boy or in the man who suffers from autism, adult, ASD. So hopefully this made sense to everyone. Obviously, I said in the beginning, I gave a disclaimer saying that, if this is not your cup of tea, then this is something to pass over. But for those of us that are interested in psychoanalysis, especially ASD, I think it's something to think about. And I think once the energy is allowed to be released in the talk therapy, then I think that the patient will be much better off, because we really don't have much to way of theory in this way. At least I haven't come across any unconscious theory when it comes to Asperger's. So with that, I'll, say thank you to everyone for tuning in, and talk next time. This has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.